Section 3, North Carolina Government. As you read, look for the makeup and powers of the General Assembly, how laws are made in North Carolina, the structure and duties of the state's executive branch, courts that make up our state judicial system, methods for funding North Carolina government, how counties and municipalities are governed, and the following terms: General Assembly, Bill, Constituent, Veto, Council of State, Felony, Tax, County Seat, Sheriff, County Commission, Municipality, and City Council. Several thousand North Carolinians held public office, both elected and appointed, in the state in the 2010s. These public servants helped make the state work in a variety of ways. Some were elected to high office, others to be part of the justice system. Others worked for the many agencies the state supported to serve the needs of citizens. The leadership of North Carolina has begun to be more multi-ethnic and multicultural during your lifetime. No longer is our state run solely by white men who are native to the state. The first two governors to serve in the 2010s were not born here, and one of those governors was a woman. In fact, there was more variety of backgrounds among the state's public servants in the 2010s than ever in our history, a result of efforts to have North Carolina live up to its democratic ideals. One of the first Latino members of the legislature, Tom Apodaca of Hendersonville, was first elected in 2010. The growth of the democratic ideal has been particularly the case with women holding public office. North Carolina at times was ranked 7th from the top of the 50 states in the frequency of women in elected offices. Beverly Perdue finished her term as the first female governor of the state in 2013. Before that, she had been a legislator, then the lieutenant governor. Several other women had been United States senators and members of the House of Representatives. Still, women usually made up only 1/5 of the legislature, despite being half of the population. Women with minority backgrounds have had an increasing role in public service to the state. For example, Allison K. Duncan, an African-American from Durham, got a law degree from Duke University. She worked for the federal government, then became a law professor at North Carolina Central University. During the 1990s, she served on the North Carolina Utilities Commission. In 2003, she was made the first female African-American judge on the federal Fourth Circuit Court. The structure of state government. The organization of North Carolina's state government has not changed drastically since the writing of the state constitution of 1868. With the changes to the Constitution in 1971, the state did reorganize state government to make it more effective. Those changes are largely still in effect. Like the national government, North Carolina's state government has three branches: the legislative, executive, and judicial. These three branches were present in colonial times. Since the War for Independence, however, the legislative branch has been the dominant one. Compared to most American states, the governorship of North Carolina is a relatively weak office. For a long time, the governor could only serve one term. In addition, the people have a strong say in who rules them in North Carolina. Officials in all three branches of government are elected by the people for specific terms, even some of the assistants to the governor. Legislative branch. The legislative branch is the lawmaking branch of the state government. Every 2 years, the voters of North Carolina choose the entire membership of the General Assembly, the legislature of the state. The Assembly is divided into two houses, the Senate and the House of Representatives. The membership of each house of the General Assembly has remained the same since 1868. There are 50 senators and 120 representatives. Because there are fewer than half as many senators as representatives, Senate districts tend to be larger. Thus, senators are assumed to have larger responsibilities. In contrast, it is assumed that the smaller House districts keep the representatives closer to the people. These ideas are based on the American concept of checks and balances. The Senate and the House are supposed to check one another's ideas and balance out their actions. The General Assembly meets each year. One year is the long session, which can last much of the year. The following year is the short session, designed to last a month or so to handle pressing needs of the state. As citizen legislators, assembly members are expected to have an independent means of livelihood. North Carolina legislators make a little less than $14,000 a year plus their daily expenses while they are actually doing their duty. When the legislature is in session, the legislators are in Raleigh from roughly noon Monday to noon Friday. When the legislature is out of session, members still come to Raleigh to hold committee meetings. A typical work week for a legislator involves a series of committee meetings about bills, proposed laws, and a daily session of each branch of the assembly. Most members belong to four or more committees. When the legislature is in session, some sort of bill is debated or voted on most days. Each member is able to speak on any bill coming before his or her chamber, Senate, or House. Each member is also expected to vote yea or nay when a bill is brought to a vote. Legislators propose bills that address either the needs of the state as a whole or the special requests or needs of their constituents, the people of the legislator's district. Legislators also get help writing bills to ensure that the language is correct and does not violate current laws. The most important bill each session is the state budget, the plan for spending money, which is submitted every 2 years. As much as half the time in the legislature is spent figuring out who will get how much money. The budget items range from the public school system to highway maintenance to special spending on things like museums or programs in individual counties. Executive Branch. The executive branch enforces the laws of the state. The governor is the head of the executive branch. Since the 1970s, the governor of North Carolina can serve more than one term. Since the late 1990s, the governor has had veto power, the ability to deny passage of legislation. These two abilities strengthen the governor's role in North Carolina politics. However, our governor is often weaker than governors in other states. For example, the governor can veto the state budget as a whole, but cannot veto a portion of it, called a line item veto. In addition to administering the laws passed by the legislature, our governor is charged with making sure that the state government spends public money in the way set out in the budget and tends to the needs of citizens as they arise. For example, Governor Jim Hunt was immediately on the scene when so many Coastal Plain citizens lost their homes during Hurricane Floyd in 1999. Hunt coordinated all state agencies and worked to gain federal aid for the victims. Governor Pat McCrory discovered that the state was out of date with its technology when he took office in 2013. He put into motion actions to streamline and speed up how the state uses computers to provide information for its citizens. The governor also prepares a budget to present to the legislature each session. Because the governor is the most visible of state officials, his or her budget starts the public debate about how the state should spend the people's money. The governor's spending plan for the state has been helped by the veto power. The governor is also in charge of the various government departments. The governor's assistants include elected and appointed officials. Since 1868, North Carolina has kept tightly to a tradition of spreading out the power and the workload of its public officials. 9 state officials who are elected directly by the people to perform specific tasks make up the Council of State, with the governor as its chairperson. The governor has direct control over a group of departments that were created in 1971: commerce, cultural resources, transportation, environment and natural resources, correction, and human resources. Each of these departments is headed by a secretary appointed by the governor. Almost all state offices are organized under divisions administered by a Council of State member or an appointed official. The Department of Labor, for example, inspects elevators in every building in the state and makes sure that all workers in the state are paid what they are legally owed by their employers. North Carolina has grown its government to meet the needs of the state in this century. The Department of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Protection was created in 2000. The purpose of the department is to prevent and reduce juvenile crime through a series of programs throughout the state. In 2015, the state created the Department of Information and Technology to make government more efficient, effective, and user-friendly for the citizens. Judicial branch. The judicial branch, the third branch of state government, is headed by the Chief Justice of the state Supreme Court. The judicial branch oversees four types of courts in the state. At the bottom are the district courts that meet in each county to handle traffic violations and domestic and civil disputes. Next up are the superior courts, which also meet in each county. The superior courts handle cases sent to them by the district courts and more serious crimes that may involve felony charges. A felony is a serious crime such as murder that is punishable by death or a significant prison term and loss of some privileges of citizenship. Those convicted in superior court have a right to appeal if there is a dispute over the procedure followed in the previous trial. The Court of Appeals decides if there is a basis for the appeal. The Supreme Court of the state, the highest court, sits as a body to decide if the law was properly executed in the case at hand. It does not decide guilt or innocence of the accused. Rather, it judges whether the state did its constitutional duty in being fair and firm in the protection of the rights of both the accused and, where need be, the victim. Every judge in the state must run for office. At the Court of Appeals and Supreme Court levels, it is a statewide election. The state court system also is in charge of clerks for most of the courts, except for the clerk of court in each of the counties, as well as the prosecutors and other minor officials. The state has also kept the office of magistrate, which dates back to the early days of the colony. Magistrates are appointed to handle small claims like worthless checks. Funding state government. Governments must have money to function. All governments get their money, called revenue, in a variety of ways. Knowing how much money is needed starts with a detailed plan. The state budget. The state's detailed plan for acquiring and spending money is the budget. Each year, the state government estimates how much revenue it will collect for the year. Then the governor and legislature must decide how to distribute the revenue to meet the needs of the state. The governor prepares the budget and presents it to the legislature. The North Carolina Constitution requires a balanced budget. This means the state cannot spend more money than it takes in, so expenditures cannot exceed revenue. Taxes. Taxes supply much of the state's revenue. Taxes are amounts paid by citizens to their governments, federal, state, and local, to support governments and the services they provide. A sales tax is collected on items as they are purchased. An excise tax is imposed on specific products. Individual citizens pay a state income tax each year. Businesses also pay income tax to the state. Property taxes are paid on homes, lands, and automobiles. A property tax is a type of ad valorem tax, a tax according to value of the property. Other sources of revenue. In addition to taxes, the state receives revenue from a variety of fees charged for certain kinds of government-issued items like driver's licenses or business licenses. The state also earns money through interest it receives from the investment of state funds. Special feature. Carolina places. State capital. All North Carolinians have to learn an important thing about spelling in their state. Raleigh, the city, is the state capital, spelled with an A. The building that has housed the state government for more than a century is the state capital, spelled with an O. The first refers to the community, the second to the building. North Carolinians have had only one capital since the legislature first met in Raleigh in 1794, but the state government has had two capitols. The first state capitol, then called the State House, was completed in 1796. The State House was relatively spacious, with a small rotunda on top. Most of the state government operated inside that one building for the next 40 years. The building, however, burned to the ground in 1831. Raleigh residents rushed to the fire, but were unable to save much of anything. They watched in horror as the building came tumbling down around a famous statue of George Washington. For a brief moment, they saw the white marble untouched in the ruins, right before the timbers crashed down onto it. When the embers cooled, they found the statue seriously damaged. North Carolina was more fortunate in the building of its second state capitol. The legislature laid the cornerstone in 1833. The granite for the building came from a quarry outside of town. To get the stone to the building site, the state constructed the first railroad in the state. The locomotive power was provided by an old horse. This experimental road was so amazing to nearby residents that they came to take rides on it, which slowed the work on the Capitol. Hundreds of workers from around the nation were employed for years in building the Capitol. Stone cutters were brought all the way from Scotland. Some of the finest work was done by craftsmen from Philadelphia. The imposing structure was completed in 1840. When the work was done, state leaders were shocked to find out it had cost $500,000. At that time, when North Carolina was so poor, $500,000 was 6 times the amount of taxes the state collected in a year. It took a major effort to pay off the debt. Since 1840, the state capitol, North Carolinians always capitalize it, has served the state well. At first, the legislature, the governor, the state Supreme Court, the Secretary of State, and even the state library and the state geologist were crowded into it. More office space for the government became available when an administration building was completed across the street in 1913. In 1962, the state legislature moved into its own building a block away. Since then, the governor and the Secretary of State have continued to use the first floor of the state capitol. The upper floors have been restored to the appearance they had in the 1800s. On Capitol Square are more than 2 dozen different varieties of trees from around the state, plus a number of statues. The most notable statue honors the 3 presidents that the state claims as natives, Andrew Jackson, James K. Polk, and Andrew Johnson. Section 3, continued. County government. The county is the primary local government division. Each county's courthouse and government are located in the municipality called the county seat. Unlike some states, where a city is separate from a county, in North Carolina all municipalities are also part of a county. The county was the first real form of government in the colony that became North Carolina. From the 1600s to the late 1900s, the county was the basis for most representation in the state. Until the 1960s, for example, each of the 100 counties had at least 1 member in the General Assembly. Each county had a court system. The county remains very important to the administration of law and order in the state. Each county has a sheriff as its chief law enforcement agent. Except in some urban counties like Mecklenburg that have county police, sheriff's deputies are the main source of law protection in rural areas. Deputies both keep law and order and help to administer the court system. The sheriff is responsible for keeping the county jail. Each county also is in charge of its schools. In some counties, like Catawba, there are separate schools for some of its towns, like Hickory. Each county has 1 or more school boards, which are in charge of hiring the local superintendent of schools, establishing a school budget, and making sure that facilities are adequate. The key body for county government remains the County Commission, which was first established by the 1868 Constitution. County commissioners are elected by the people, usually for 4-year terms. The number of county commissioners varies in each county, but most counties have an odd number to keep tie votes from occurring. Only in Jackson County is the chair of the commission elected by the voters. Otherwise, the commissioners choose the chair. In about one-third of the counties, the commissioners represent districts within the county. In half, the commissioners are elected at large. That means that all the voters in the county choose all the commissioners. The rest of the counties have both district and at-large representatives. The commission is responsible for overseeing the budget for the schools, monitoring the effectiveness of law enforcement, and administering recreation facilities. Almost all of these services are paid for by property taxes. Citizens of municipalities pay property taxes to both the city and the county. Municipal government. There are more than 500 municipalities, cities with their own government, in North Carolina. They range in size from Love Valley in Iredell County, which barely has enough adults to hold an election, to Charlotte, which has over 800,000 residents. The towns and cities in North Carolina are generally governed by a city council, headed by a mayor. In some cities, the mayor is elected by the citizens. In other cities, the mayor is elected by members of the city council. In the second case, the council member who got the most votes in the last election is usually honored by becoming mayor. Municipalities are responsible for many of the public services that a citizen needs daily, including police and fire protection. In smaller towns, the fire department is sometimes a volunteer organization. The city also is required to pave, clean, and repair the streets and sidewalks. It provides streetlights in most places. All cities provide the water and sewer facilities that businesses and residences need. Most cities build parks for their residents and host special events. In every municipality, the elected officials serve 4-year terms. Municipal services are funded mostly by property taxes, which citizens pay upon the value of their buildings and land. Some municipalities have other small taxes and fees for business licenses or special car license plates.